Welcome to the Carmen Murray Show, where we have conversations about 21st century business and culture. Here in the Murray Den, we'll open a window into a world of things that intrigue and inspire. Share stories of excitement, hope, bravery, courage, and resilience. And now, from the Solid Gold Studios, let's level up, lean in, and get Murray with your host, Carmen Murray, as we let curiosity lead us down new paths.
As we celebrate Johnny Clegg, there is a Zulu saying, Utshani ubulele buvuswa umlilu, meaning the dry dead grass is made young and green by fire, and how every dark or painful incident in our lives has a positive aspect. I recently got introduced to the most incredible woman, Sky Mendes, one of the most courageous, inspiring stories and really packed with hope and resilience, and it touched me in such a profound way. They call her the stylist whisperer. Now hang on, I know, at first I thought the same. It sounds a bit dodge, but if you listen throughout this entire episode, you will be blown away and you'll get it. I wanted to give men and women with this episode and hope you find it so inspiring. So today, Sky Mendes, welcome into the Murray Den.
Hey Carmen, how are you? What's up? I'm great, thank you.
Fantastic, thank you. So a little theory told me that apparently you have been listening to the Carmen Murray Show like a lot lately.
I do. I always like to listen in and learn things. I believe I'm forever learning, so I do listen in. And since I was going to be on the show, I was going to see, let's see, are these my people? What can I learn from it? And yes, I have been listening and learning.
Come on, tell us, what was your favorite episode?
There's a few, like Taryn Pickup, I think's her name, and then Richard Mulhard.
Oh, yes.
And then the comedian, John Vilsmos. So there have been a few, but those are the top three, the top of my head.
Well done. Well, yeah, that was epic episodes. A little bit cray, some of them.
Yeah. But life is cray. It's real.
Okay. So for our audience out there, I think, if you're a frequent listener, you'll hear me refer to this quite a lot. You'll know that I've lost over 30 kilos due to a syndrome that I have. I've gone through this big, big personal transformation. And I've also been dealing with a lot of trauma from my past. And I recently turned 40 and I wanted to use this as a way of dealing with my past and look towards a future, grow, transform, and live out my personal brand. But before we get into that, let's start from the beginning. So Sky, you and I met through, I was doing a training course and one of the students there was telling me all about you. Oh my gosh, you have to meet with Sky Mendes. You called me and I was like, yes, and we were chatting, and with my busy schedule, I was like, I'm not sure if we can meet. And then we met, and we spent a whole day together, and we went to Marnus Broderick's event, if you recall.
100%.
And it was just such an amazing day, and you literally opened up your heart and your soul and told me your story. And to me, it's one of the most profound stories ever. So I think let's undress you, figure of speech, and get naked. Tell us about your story and how it led you to be where you are today.
Okay. So I always considered myself as a good dresser. And I used to get a lot of compliments as well. And I often was asked, hey, how do I do this? How do I get dressed here and there? And so I used to give people advice. So here I am traveling on the M1 North, sunroof's open, music's pumping, mom's next to me in the car, and life is a bliss. We're coming back from a medical appointment of hers, and the next minute I feel this incredibly sharp pain at the bottom of my stomach that I nearly flip the car. It's so intense that I've literally just got to grab onto it. So pull over on the side of the highway and try and brace this unbelievable pain. And a couple of seconds later, although it felt like hours, I'm like, sure, what was that? That was hectic. Anyway, music back on and we just carry on cruising down the highway. So 3 weeks forward, middle of early hours of the morning, casualty, here I come. And the same immense pain is just pumping through my body. And I just, at this stage, like put a pipe through my head, do anything. I just can't deal with it anymore. At the time, I had like this very short, I think a Polish specialist surgeon. He came on and he said to me, look, I can't see what's happening. Your stomach is just so bloated and everything. I'm going to have to open you up. And as I said, like the pain was just so much. I didn't care what they actually did at that stage. I just really wanted the pain gone. So wake up next morning. I'm like, great. This is awesome. There's no more pain. Like it's all sorted. And then I see the surgeon, he's kind of doing his rounds, and then he comes to me and he says, okay, well, we removed the 32 centimeter tumor. yeah, it looks bad. I don't know how bad. You're going to have to wait 6 weeks and, we're going to talk. I was like, okay, that's cool. At this stage, like I'm none the oblivious of what's really going on, but I'm really happy because the pain's kind of gone. And so I call the nurse and I say to her, all right, so he's talking something cancer. Am I high? Am I still on meds? Like, what's happening? She's like, yeah, but you know, it's still early days. We don't know. It's got to go off for testing. We've got to go and see. We've got to wait for results first. So I'm like, okay, so when can I leave? She like looks at me with this like, her, like big eyes and like, is this lady for real? And she's like, you're going to leave till you've passed wind through that thing. I'm like, what thing? She goes, that bag. So she pulls the sheets down and there it is, a colonostomy bag. So yeah, reality got real, hey? And so my journey began. And 6 weeks later, I had to start chemotherapy. I had stage 4 colon cancer, and that was my diagnosis. And so here I am. And then being the resilience guy that I generally am, I'm like, we're just going to denial. So we dressed to the nines. When I landed up at chemo the first time, everyone thought I was the doctor. my fellow patients were like, yeah, Dr. Mendes. I'm like, no, I'm in this with you. Like, this is happening. And so, as I said, that's what I do. Denial and dress to the nines and everything will be fine. And a couple of sessions of chemo underneath the belt. And the one morning I just happened to catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror. And I honestly did not recognize who I was. Like, who is this person? I had no eyebrows. I had no eyelashes. My voluptuous hair used to fall down with a breeze of wind and this pale gray moon face. And honestly, I did not know who I was. And I would say that was like the beginning of my journey, like to really discover who I am on a deep soul level. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And what is this all about? Because, sure, it was dark. It was hard.
When all of this happened, your mom also fell sick. So you said that you came back from the doctors. Did she also fall sick?
No. So actually that was just a general checkup. So she was actually quite fine. My mom landed up, she accompanied me to all these chemo sessions and everything. I was very blessed actually. Cancer came to save me in many ways, but that was one of them. And shortly after my chemo treatments, I mean, she had walked this journey with me every single day, sitting with me there 3 times a week. Yeah, she then passed. I finished the chemo in the February and she passed that September. Yeah.
That's a hard year.
Yeah, that was crazy. Everything, cancer just burnt everything of mine to the ground. Everything. My relationship, long-standing relationship, my partner, like everything. The only thing I didn't lose was my 2 children.
But did he not support you during this journey?
I think it was very difficult for him to come to terms with what was happening. And I think when you always the strong one and kind of holding things up. So he was there, but I didn't involve him because already when someone's a little bit of a depressive natured person, you don't need that. I mean, I had to go into healing and sorting myself out, and I couldn't be anybody's mart at the time. So he was there, but also with when you get a challenge like this in life, you really look into the truth of who you are. And in reality, this life that was going on around me was nothing but a facade and a masquerade.
So is that why you say that cancer saved you? I've never heard that.
Cancer was really a gift to me. It came to show me who I really am on a soul level. What my purpose is here, what life is really about, because we were so financially strong at the time. And yet when that Polish doctor walked away, I couldn't be like, hey, dude, I got 15 million. I can get out of this. Yeah. That wasn't going to buy me out of it at all. So material things, all sorts of stuff. Like, it really breaks you down to your core. Who's your relationships? Who's there for you? Who's not there for you? How do you want to be accepted and seen in the world? It's a gift. It really is a gift, because you literally, I mean, it's stage 4. So you are at mercy. Mm. And you have to start building yourself up from the burnt ashes, literally.
Bravo. Like, congratulations for
the resilience.
Resilience, but also keeping your mind positive, but seeing the positive in this entire journey.
To be honest, I think my two children, they definitely, my son at the time was in matric, my daughter was just going into her teen years, you know, not having a father figure for me, I didn't also have a choice, and I am resilient by nature, but they were always my driving factor that I needed to come out of this, and I also needed to be a role model, and I am a brand to them. So I could either be a victim or I could be a hero of my own story, and that's what I chose to be. I thought, okay, these kids need me, I need me, it's time to just to focus on me and heal from inwards outwards, not this, let's put some clothes on, because that's what I used to do before. I used to mask my emotions with my clothing, and that's why I was so good at it.
That was, for me, the most profound moment in our engagement, like when we were talking. So we literally, like, in like 20 minutes in our conversation, I went grabbing a cup of coffee and you went straight there, and you were like, you know, you're using clothing to mask you know, yourself, and you need to start from inwards, outwards. Is this the reason why you decided to become an image consultant? Because what makes you different from what's out there?
So for me, helping people feel great has always been my thing, because I always struggled with self-esteem. So that was initially my thing. I always loved clothing. I actually wanted to be a fashion designer when I was younger. So and then with really digging deep, like, what is it that I want to do on this earth? Why am I here? What am I good at? And so throughout my illness, I decided, okay, I'm going to personal development. I learned so much about it. Then I studied image consulting and all the rest of it, because it still felt a little bit frivolous and superficial to me. I didn't feel it was deep enough for my persona, because I wanted to be a helper. And how is putting lipstick in a dress or shirt or a pair of pants on a man, how's that helping them? I mean, you know, you feel great for 5 minutes, but you know, your self-esteem, you've got to build it from the inside. There's no amount of hairspray, makeup, lipstick, high heels, trust me, that you put on, or shopping that you go and do, that's actually going to fill that void. So, and that's how come I got into it. And even after studying it and going out and working with a few clients and things like that, even being in high-end retail, I started noticing patterns between women, men, and at what stages they were in their life. And because I had kind of been through certain things, I would know how to guide them through it. And that's how I actually landed up doing what I'm doing. And that's how I found purpose in clothing and styling. So now I like to say that I help people feel confident, dress with purpose, and save 80% of time and money on their wardrobe. And then I think when we are confident, we go out and we do good in the world, because you have to feel it, to believe it, and then to do it.
I love what you say, because, like, I'm a clothing hoarder, right? I think you know that by now.
Don't be hoarding, girl.
Like, guys, I'm not when I say hoarder, not like those shows kind of thing, but I really love clothing. And it has always been a thing, like, have as much mini jeans as possible. Yeah.
and then I'll change my mind. And then tomorrow I don't like what I bought, and then I just pack it away in the back of a suitcase, yeah. And it goes on the top of the,
yeah, and the one day,
bedroom's cupboard.
And one day I'm going to wear it again.
And one day I'm going to wear it again, which, yeah, never ever happens.
Never.
And you literally sat there with me and said, okay, take this out, and you grab an item and you show me like 10 different ways how to wear it. And I've been experimenting. Today I'm doing the French tuck, the one that you taught me.
Yes, yeah, and how, yeah, does it feel?
It feels very good. Mm-hmm. And it's just like simple little tweaks that you can apply in your life. And you know, the weird thing for me is I always thought of these three big words when I thought of a stylist: expensive, designer clothing.
Yes. So, that's why I'm different, and I totally get it, because I used to think the same before I even started studying, and that I thought it was just for celebrities and that, but it really isn't. Firstly, no one really taught us how to dress, you know.
So true.
No one really taught us. So we, in our times, we followed magazines. Now there's social media and there's, a TV and there's everything else. So you kind of copy what you sort of, buy into, but still that person is not you. And for me, a personal stylist is somebody who comes and educates you on how to style yourself based on who you are, not outside of you, not on that body, not on somebody else's beliefs and aspirations. So, and it's a very affordable, actually you save a lot more bringing a personal stylist in than just consistently wasting money on the wrong products that are, right, not for you. So it is actually, initially it's an investment in yourself, but like with everything in life, you know, you went to school, you invested some funds to learn something, and it's basically the same thing. You get your hair done, it's an investment in yourself, because otherwise we'd all walk around with burnt out frizzled hair, and it's literally how it is. For me, personal styling is an educated experience. You learn about yourself, you learn how to shop, so it saves you time, it saves you money, and you just feel confident because you know the right color, the right fit, the right message that you're sending to your audience out there. And also, you don't need, everyone thinks I have a limitless wardrobe. I don't. People are shocked when they see the amount of clothing in my wardrobe, but every single piece works with each other. And that's what personal styling is about. It's not for celebrities. The personal styling for celebrities, it's lastminute.com. I need a dress for this engagement and that kind of thing. Yeah, this, yeah, is totally different. This is, who am I? What is my purpose in the world? How do I want to be seen or perceived when that person meets me for the first time? What is it that I want them to see?
Yeah.
What is my brand about? Because we are all a brand. We're a brand to our husbands. We're a brand to our peers. You're a brand to that lady that's taking your money at Woolworths. You are a brand, and you have to know what your brand is saying. Also so that you're more in alignment with your opportunities and with your truth. So when you open your mouth, it's credible because, oh yeah, I can totally see that. Carmen Murray, yes, the podcast lady, the innovator. Yeah, and that's what it is. That's a personal stylist.
To the audience, I sometimes feel like you know more about me than my husband. Like he was... He was at the gym this morning. He was like, some odd person just came and greeted me and spoke about your podcast and spoke about what you mentioned on the show. And I was like, oh, he says that. And he said, all the guys were like, why are you talking to all these people? Like, what, who are they? He says, I don't know. But it's a funny thing. But this is what's so important, is that you don't know how many people you are reaching out to. You don't know how many people you touch in your life. And it's very important that you kind of have an approachable presence and persona, yeah, when people try and reach out to you. You know, you said something very profound. It's like, you know, your personality inward and then looking at it inward and then moving it outwards.
It's always. And that's how you go about it. So it's, who am I? What are my skills? What are my strengths? What is it that I want to do in this world? Because then I'm helping others, and we are all here for that. Trust me, it's not about money. It's not about any of that. It's all about adding a contribution to making others feel better about themselves, because this is how really spread love. And at the end of the day, yes, we've got to make money and everything, but we've got to have compassion. We've got to spread love and we've got to have a purpose in what we're doing. Otherwise it's just meaningless. And all the money in the world is also not going to buy you that fulfillment that you're actually looking for.
Mm.
So you sit down and you ask yourself, what are my skills? What are my strengths? What are my values? What do I believe in? And then it's packaging that awesomeness of the brand called you with clothing.
Mm.
And so that it reflects what you are feeling on the inside. Mm. And that's how you connect alignment with your opportunities.
Because you wear your emotions, right?
You are what you wear. People can stand in their hair, they can do whatever they like. Trust me, I have years and years and years and years and years of experience. You are what you wear. And that's why they say that. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. That's why people either buy into you straight away or not. Because something about you will be off that they are feeling. She's saying all these great things in there, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
Mm.
Her body language, her emotions isn't radiating that because but her shirt's broken. She's missing a button there.
She's looking at me while she's saying that. Like, I do not have a broken button. Do I?
No, you have nothing that's broken.
Got a stylist.
But I'm
house.
Just, yeah, because people, some people just think, oh, well, this will do. No, this won't do because this is a day in your life.
Mm.
And you shouldn't have that will do that attitude because then all your opportunities will be, well, that will do and that will do. And it's mediocre.
No, I agree.
And you've only got one life. And trust me, when that little Polish man surgeon comes to your bed and he tells you this, you start the hugest negotiations you've ever done because then you like, what have you done with your life?
Yeah.
And you know, and at a blink, it can be taken away. So yeah.
No, it's so true. I mean, you talk about something that's so profound and we're talking quite a lot about this in the business world is looking outward inwards. So I like to use this analogy about the egg. So when you take an egg and you break it from the outside, it means death. When it breaks from the inside, it means life. So if you think about it, who you are on the inside, you need to wear that and exude that yes. energy and that personality. Yes. You need to get out there. Now, for those who know me, I have different styles. Like it all depends on what I say mood, but you say it's not a mood thing. It's a different style personality. But I would wake one day and say, okay, today I want to dress like a punk. Today I want to feel like Gwen Stefani. And today I want to feel like Kim K. Like I kind of like do that. And then I did this amazing
personality
test the other day, which is the start of our program. And I did the personality test. Now, what is the words now? I'm creative.
You're a classic.
I'm a classic.
And you're creative. And then you're dramatic.
I'm dramatic.
So
I know another one. Androgynous.
Androgynous. Yes.
Jeez, like that word. I couldn't. I'm like, what? Say it again.
And then androgynous. That's right. So most people, and that's how come you land up with a closet full of nothing. Because firstly, you don't even know what your style personality is.
Mm.
And that's how I bring the awareness back to you. So, okay, let's see who you are. Common, what is it that you stand for? Let's see what your style personality is, and then we match your wardrobe according. So everything that's in your wardrobe that was you maybe 10 years ago or 5 years ago, I don't know how back we're gonna go with that, we're gonna let go of because now you're on a different mission. And we should be, you know, every 5 years at least minimum you should have like what I call an assessment. Okay, where do I want to be in the next 5 years? What is it that I want to be doing? And then kind of dress for that part because we know more in varsity or we've had a baby or we've started a company, a startup, and or we've left the corporate world, we change. So we are, and we're meant to be changing all the time. So that's the first thing. You have to know what your style personality is. And for all our listeners out there, they can actually go onto my website and do the quiz. It's for free.
Oh, yeah. You guys have to go. We'll have it on the show notes. It's Sky Mendes, Skye Mendes.com. And there's a personality,
style quiz.
Phenomenal. Do it and then actually share with us what your style is. It would be interesting to know.
Yeah. And most people, cause we are quite faceted human beings and we have more than one style personality. Now where people normally go wrong is they want to mix all the styles together. And then that's what makes them look a little bit like a Christmas tree. And so yeah, that's where I come in and kind of streamline things and just a few tweaks and, you know, cuts here and there and then.
And a million ways of how to.
Yeah. Preserve. To wear the same item.
But I think also the important thing is less is more. Rather have a few quality pieces. Like that's what you're yes. teaching me is like rather have a few quality pieces because fabric softeners and stuff like that
are not,
it's not good for your clothing. Sorry guys. Just being honest. fabric softeners, especially when you have good quality clothing is not good for it. And you need to have something at, I mean, you had the other day, you had a burgundy coat that was 15 years old.
The red one. The red one, the Burberry one, yes.
Or Burberry, sorry. Yes, Burberry. But I mean, like, for me, that's an example.
That's a staple item.
Yeah.
So for me, as an entrepreneur, firstly, and secondly, as a single mom, like, I couldn't rush out and, continuously buy clothing. Mm. So I had to make sure that what I bought had a time longevity, were quality pieces, and that I can mix and match with anything in my wardrobe. And that's how I literally shop for everything. And I learned that on my own. Image consulting and style school teaches you a little bit about that, but not too much about it. And only with my own experience did I come to realize that if you have a few great staple pieces and those you buy according to your style personality, and then obviously according to your shape and everything else, that will last you 10 to 12 years and you don't have to buy new items all the time. And then you bring in the trend items. So maybe like a belt and earrings, accessories. And that's how you kind of style it to bring it in today's.
Sounds like interior decorating.
Current style. It is a little bit like that. But you know, even with everything, actually, the other day I was kind of having a website audit and all the rest of it. And even how she explained to me, it actually felt, oh my God, I get it. Cause this is what I tell clients. So she says, you've got all the right content and you've got this and that, but nothing's kind of working and it doesn't have the right flow. And I was like, okay, I so get it because it's like my client's wardrobe. Mm. They've got the right pieces. They're just not mixing it together and they're not creating the ultimate look as to what they want to be perceived as. So, yeah, everything kind of does come together when you do look inward, project it outward, and, yeah. I think at the end of the day, we're all here to become more self-aware and to spend less, especially, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're always investing in your business and you can't constantly be buying stuff and being reckless with finances and things like that. So it's about, and also the planet. My biggest thing is, and I've seen it time and time again, the wastage that comes out of people's wardrobes. It's horrific. I mean, a lot of them, it's between 30 to 50K. Oh. I mean, that could be a very good investment in some shares or a holiday experience overseas where it's, you know, you're getting relaxation and things like that instead of hogged up money in your closet. And not only that, it takes 10,000 liters of water to make a pair of jeans. It's very hard on the planet. The clothing industry is the second harshest to oil and petrol. And that's also what I try and teach people. Buy correctly, buy less, learn how to mix and match, and you don't have to have this constant amount of funds because now you need to look different or you're going to this event or you're going here and you don't have anything to wear. You will always have something to wear, always. And you will always feel stylish and confident in what you are wearing because you've bought correctly. And you've bought for you. You haven't bought because Kim K was wearing it, the mannequin who's never had a biscuit, had a baby, or even a traumatic experience. She looks fantastic in it. No, you're buying for you, for who you are, for what you stand for.
I love it. Okay, so you know I love case studies, so we're going to take a few celebrities and decode their dressing style and get a little bit of insight about the message that they are projecting and all of the interesting learnings that you've had over the years and how you assess the way celebrities dress. So I'm going to start with one of my favorite, Kim Kardashian.
Okay, so Kim K, as I call her, her style is very much sexy, all about exuding her assets. And she is a brand. I mean, she's built a brand, and I agree with you. she's not everyone's favorite, but she's built a brand from nothing and just using her assets, whether it was her titties or her booty, that's how it was. And then I think the brains came afterwards, because she's also a very big entrepreneur and she had to learn very quickly how to brand things, not brand things, and all the rest of it. So she positioned herself like that. But that's Kim, and she pulls it off well. And that's her brand. That's what she's about. She is about selfies and how you doing, that kind of stuff. That's just her. So that's Kim K.
So we have,
and all of you Kim K wannabes, you're so much more fabulous than her. Not that she isn't great, but yeah, I mean, yeah,
everybody is their own person, and this is the one thing that you told me, is like, you can't aspire to be like anybody else. However, if I want to inherit a cupboard of clothing, it's gonna be Gwen Stefani's.
Yes.
Clothing cupboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can see can that. You? The total creativity, the dramaticness. But that's why you're such a great entrepreneur. It's because, yes. And that, but that's why you're such a great entrepreneur, because of all of that. And that's what I mean. You are what you wear. And so your clothing does say a lot about you. So for you saying, I nearly thought you were going to say Kim K is going to be like, what?
When
you
had you so, I don't have wrong. The bum for it. There's a lot of things going wrong that ain't going to work. And I can't walk in those heels anymore. That's yeah. a problem.
And not, and you just gotta be who you are. Everyone else is taken. Be who you are. And that's the thing. When you aspire to be Kim K, all you're gonna do is create self-loathing and self-esteem issues for yourself, because you're never gonna be her. Mm. You were born with a specific fingerprint that no one else has on this earth. And it's the same with your gifts. You have a special gift. Each and every single one of us has one special gift that we were born with that sets us apart from the rest. But we're so busy trying to be everyone else that we forget about who we are and how to own our own gifts and then spread them outwards. And that's what we need to do. So stop following celebrities. You are your own hero. You are your own celebrity. Own your gifts, own your skills, and then just share them outwardly, and you will be your very own Kim K and whoever you want to be.
We had a conversation about Barack Obama and Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And actually in one of my courses, we unpack that, which is like Barack Obama makes a decision on gray suits and I think blue suits. And that's the only suits that he has in his cupboards, because he says he's got too many decisions to make in a day, that worrying what to eat and what to wear is not one of them.
Absolutely. So for someone like that on a world public stage and what he stands for, because he's got to stand for world peace and uniting and the people and everything else, obviously he had a stylist come in, I can guarantee you that. And they're like, okay, your colors need to be blue, communication, this, that, and the other, and this is how you're going to wear it, and this is going to be your signature and your uniform. And there's a lot of people who do that because they are busy. They do have to send out a message, and they don't you can't leave it up to them, because those are not their skills.
Mm.
You know, he has a constant wardrobe. There's a few men like that. Artem Power, Zuckerberg is one of them, that they have a wardrobe. They have a uniform, what I call, and then it's just easier for them, and they'll look great in it. They stand for their brand and what the world is expecting from them.
And there's also consistency, I think.
Consistency.
That consistency.
And in that kind of position, it's definitely what you need, is consistency. And then Michelle Obama, I mean, if you look at her style now, and I always say this to my ladies in the C-suite in Power, I'm like, you're not Michelle Obama, because you've got to own your own skills. So she, as the first lady, she showed us that she was creative in some of her outfits, but she did keep it very much on the world stage. If you look at her now post the White House, I mean, when she went round on the book tour, I mean, those were some scary blingy thigh-high boots, glitter boots that she was wearing with the lime green cape coat. And you would never see her on the world stage. I mean, standing next to Barack with that, it wasn't the right platform for it. But she's staying true to her personality. And now, post the White House, she's showing her creative motherly side, and that she can also be young and fresh and spontaneous, because she is. And she's a very inspiring woman. And that's what I say to the woman, especially in the corporate world, because they try so hard to fit into this male-dominated world. And it's very important that we own our femininity because that is what makes us different. And that is what we have to bring into the world place instead of just these shirts and suits and pants and boring outfits that show no persona. And you're trying so hard to fit into this male dominated world.
Something about Michelle Obama also is the different ways of how she would have dressed, like when she's alongside Barack and when she's in her own stage and she was rallying and doing things like that. There was a very different way of how she would dress. Like, because I remember when Barack came into power, everybody was talking about her arms.
Yes.
Remember?
Even me. She inspired me. I promise you, especially after chemo, like things get a bit flabby. And I worked on my arms. Now I've got like Michelle Obama arms. I'm proud to say.
Oh, did you manage to
yes,
do it?
Yes, even me. But yes, but that's like all of us. So we are also always on different stages. How I'm dressed here for the podcast is different to when I would go do a corporate training or when I would go and really style like a dramatic celebrity thing. Things like that. So your platform, you kind of choose you're still true to yourself with your persona in that, but you choose to dress to build rapport with your prospective audience, and it will change. And Michelle Obama did that very well.
But she obviously had a stylist, right?
Well,
she must have had one.
I keep on saying it's something that needs to be learned. 40. Everyone learns these things. We were not taught how to dress.
Okay, so Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay, so Ellen, she's just the funny gal. She's so awesome. So Ellen is very real. She owns her masculine side, but within her femininity, because Ellen is very feminine. Mm-hmm. She's very much a nurturer and a giver and all that. But so her clothing has a masculine, androgynous style to it, but it has a woman fit. If you see, it will still come around her waist, and it's not these big tucked out shirts like for the men with the beer belly. Sorry, guys, but you know, it's facts. And that's kind of thing. So it's a it's got a feminine cut, but it's still got the male inspired version, even her shoes and everything. But look, and then, and again, that is her authentic self. That's what looks so great on her. So when you're true to yourself, own your body for where you are and what it is. And then dress it accordingly. You will always, create credibility and always look stylish because you are being true to yourself. And Ellen has a very polished style. Her style did so well that she's got own range now.
I know. I love going on to that, but I'm so, you see, the thing for me is like, I love that style, but I don't know how to explore with it because I don't want to feel butch.
No, I totally get what you mean.
I still want to feel feminine.
So for you, yes. And she feels feminine.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah, she feels feminine.
I don't mean it in a bad way.
No, I get what you're saying, but she feels feminine in her own right, but you are different to her 100%. And that's why you would say that. So for you, instead of the collared tied up shirts right up to the neckline, you'd more have a V-neck, you know, to show off our chest area a little bit more and to give us the more feminine cuts and the smaller collared lapels and things like that. So it's all, you know, there is, like I said, it's style is personal. It's your fingerprint. It's very unique and different. One style, Ellen's style, would never work on anybody else. You've taken a little bit of it and then you put your own twist and spin to it.
I love that.
And that's just how it works.
And it's just learning the skill of how to do that.
Absolutely. And it is very easy and it is learned and it makes such a huge difference.
I've done my first session with you. Well, I had you came and
the
just
introduction,
showed me.
Yes.
I don't know what, face my cupboard. You faced my cupboard and then
we did your stats.
We did, it's like a psychological
getting
test
to know you session.
Getting to know you. And then it was the personality test.
Yeah.
And then just from that, learning a few things. But obviously also for me, working with a lot of marketers in the tech space and AI and data and all of that, I kind of,
yes, you're the future lady.
I like a little bit playing with a bit of techie style, you know?
Yes, so there's a lot of those. So a famous one would be like Gary Vee.
Yes.
And most people in the tech, and that's just the thing. So a lot of people think, oh, image consultants for someone who wears suits and high collared shirts and all that. It's not. Even if you wear jeans and a t-shirt, wear the right jeans and the right t-shirt. Choose the right fit for you, the right colors, and just look clean and put together and not like a rapper that's just come out of jail kind of story with the pants hanging down and all that. So Gary Vee does that very well, and he says he hates a uniform. He's very much like the Zuckerberg and all the Silicon Valley people, and even the tech guys that you meet here in South Africa, it's pretty much the same. It's hoodies, t-shirts, and sneakers.
Or the hipster.
But those hoodies, yeah, or the, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Those gangster pants. But even the hoodie and even the jean and even the sneaker is saying something about you. And you can be a powerful man and inspire people like Gary Vee does a lot with his authenticity. But if you go and have a look, he wears a lot of V-necks, which is very proportioned to what his body shape is and the colors and the different things. So even though he's wearing sneakers, a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, it's very well orchestrated.
Oh no, for sure. I mean, like I was listening to one of his podcasts where, Ask Gary Vee, where he was talking about the fact that he was overweight. Like he picked up like 20 kilos or I can't remember. And he said he just didn't feel comfortable. So, and how he projected himself and when he had to go on stage, which I can completely relate to, because when you don't feel yourself and whatever, it's just like almost in a state of anxiety to project yourself, but not that he has any anxiety issues. I mean, that man just says what I love him.
Yeah, but he's very raw.
Very, very raw, but very, very raw. Authentic. And I think it suits him very well. Mark Zuckerberg, like he would wear the same color t-shirt, I think most of the time. But then the weird thing is he started wearing suits when he had to have respect.
Yeah, so there's different platforms that you've also got to honor and respect them, like going to court and things like that. But now, so somebody like Zuckerberg, for me, the way his style is, he doesn't want you to see who he is. Hence, everything's exactly the same consistently. He is very controlled and very, I got to be careful what I'm showing to the world here. Even though he's got this huge platform and everything else. And that's where is Gary Vee. He's more authentic. He's original. He's going to wear what he's going to wear on the stages, F-bomb as much as he wants and everything else. And he doesn't really care whether Zuckerberg is very, he's showing you only what he wants you to see. It's very controlled.
So true.
And in a way, it's actually quite scary because you're not really getting a look into his real persona.
So for all of you out there, if you're only wearing one t-shirt, white t-shirts every day.
We're on to you. we know what you're hiding.
I'm going to be very scared. My one friend always used, I know, it was so funny. So many, many years ago, right? One of my friends and I. Mandy Alting, like, I don't know if you're listening to this, but if you listen to this, we went to a club. It was like before I got married and I was still young and what. Anyway, and we go to this club and she had this thing about never trust a guy with white shoes. She had this thing.
Yeah, I second that.
Is that?
And it was so, and it was so in.
Like,
at the time it was so in.
Oh my God.
And for all the guys out there wearing white shoes, yes, there is a way to wear them. They're not Dutch, but there is a way to wear them. But I know which guy you're talking about. I can picture it. They're at Masquerade back in the day.
Oh, funny stuff. Okay, let's take one more. What about Oprah Winfrey?
Okay, so Oprah, she's the lady that, firstly, so spiritually inspiring. She literally walks her truth. She owns a voluptuousness. And she knows, you're not judging me on my body. That is a struggle. Food has always been a struggle. But still, even as an overweight person, and this is what I admire about Oprah, and that's what I'm saying. And I teach my clients, style is weightless, ageless, limitless, priceless. It's all of those things. And Oprah is a very good example with that because she owns her voluptuousness. She does not wear baggy clothing, trying to hide every curve, because that's the mistake that most overweight people make, or people that perceive themselves to be, they will go and add more bulk to the problem area. Hence, it makes it look 2 to 3 times bigger. Oprah does totally the opposite. She will wear the V-necks where you see her sisters nicely sitting there, and her hips and everything else. And she works with angles and asymmetrical lines and things like that, but she owns her stuff and she openly admits it. I love food. It's always going to be my thing. I'm never going to be super skinny or anything else. It's not who she wants to be in the world. She'll rather stand up, let you inspire you, motivate you, teach you about spirituality just to be a decent, great human being. And again, clothes don't own her. Clothes shouldn't own anybody. You should own the clothes. And clothes should never wear you. You need to wear the clothes. And so that's Oprah. That's what I can share about Oprah. I love her. She's just so amazing.
I don't know, but I feel like I'm 3 degrees away from her because I'm getting closer and closer to people that know her. And I'm like, it's yours.
We are going to style you in alignment with that desire of yours.
I'm like, maybe I'm not mentally ready for that moment, but I'm like, oh my gosh, because I mean, since I've been a little girl, I remember watching Oprah Winfrey.
I felt like she was my life coach.
She was your life coach, exactly.
Cooking in the afternoon, like for the kids and that after work. And then you would listen to Oprah and I learned so much via the TV through my life coach. Oprah is what she did to many, ladies, and that's what she's doing now, even in South Africa. She's just so amazing owns herself, loves herself just as is. And that's what a personal brand's about. Just being authentic, living your truth exactly as what she does.
And this is one common thread that's coming through with the people that are authentic. Like if you look at Gary Vee, Ellen DeGeneres, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Oprah Winfrey, they carry themselves with authenticity.
Yes, because they're not trying to be anybody else. They're just taking what they know about themselves, developing those skills and their own strengths, and then projecting it outwards. And that's exactly what a personal brand is. And that's the thing, you know, especially today, we have Instagram, social media, so much pressure. You look at this picture and you're like, oh my God, this person looks so gorgeous and amazing. And it's this constant self-loathing and self-worth that gets challenged. But when you're strong at your core and you know what your purpose is and you know what your message is, you don't get swayed by any of that. If anything, it's just like, okay, wow, that looks amazing. But it's not something that you don't walk with that picture to the hairdresser or the clothing store. I want that, because then what you literally saying is, I want to be that person instead of owning.
Celebrating and owning who you are.
Yes. Totally. And it's not about fitting in anymore. It's about standing out. If I can share that with anything today, because there's lots of image consultants, there's lots of stylists, there's lots of fashion stylists, but there's only one Sky Mendes. And that's what I've come to love and learn. My spin on things is different to anybody else, and I don't want to be like anybody else. This is what I'm sure you don't want to be like. You want to be Common Mary.
Oh, no, for sure.
The OG of podcast and innovator.
Listen, I had to look up OG. I never heard of this. What is this OG?
An OG is an original gangster.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm a little bit nervous for this part, is facing the cupboard, which is the part of letting go.
Yes.
Take me through the journey, because I think that you have many women that you've taken through this journey. What do they feel? What's going on? Okay. Do they cry? What happens?
We do go through an 8-step process, and the second step is the wardrobe process. And it is a difficult process because there's a lot of energy and emotion in the wardrobe. There's a lot of having to let go, coming to terms with certain things, and also addressing issues. And I think most of my clients, I mean, we're decades in now, but most of my clients, they are horrified of what a wardrobe actually, a lot of them say, are you psychic? And actually, it's just what your wardrobe's telling me. And as we kind of put on things, some things are painful, but then it's a form of letting go, and it's actually very therapeutic. And once we pass the wardrobe stage, then it's like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. But the wardrobe stage is difficult because, as I said, we come into terms with certain things, whether it's a relationship, whether it's that company or that startup that we haven't started, whether it's, okay, I've been overindulging a little and putting things off. Whatever, it's different for everybody. I can't just nail it down to one thing, but it is a hard session. I've had people like burst into tears halfway. I've had people, no, I totally get it, and hug me and love me. I get people that are like, okay, Sky, you need to go now. 3 hours in and I cannot.
Really?
Yeah, because it is exhausting and it is tiring because it's emotional. I keep on saying you wear your emotions, and when it comes to that step in the process, you actually realize it. But I can tell you this, a day or 3 days max afterwards, I will get that message or that phone call. Sky, thank you so much. I feel totally different. I get it now. I totally understand. Oh my God, I'm excited. Then the whole rebirth starts happening. So the initial wardrobe stage is like, ugh, I want to punch this lady in the face.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Why?
I'm telling you.
It's just like looking in the mirror, you know, like that day when I had to look in the mirror and be like, oh my goodness.
Because I can see, but there is going to be a few pieces. Like I'm already thinking there is a few pieces in there that has been given to me over by generations that I just have to keep there because I feel like I can't let go.
You see?
I feel like if I do that, it's sacrilegious. Like I just have to. Like my husband bought me this, he went to Paris many years ago and he saw this thing on a mannequin in Paris, and it's this beautiful silk baroque. It's actually, if you had a beautiful body for it, I mean, it could look so like
so first
amazing.
Thing, let me just,
I can't get rid of it.
Let me just stop you right there. So everybody is beautiful. I believe everybody is beautiful and everybody has a special thing. And it's not even about this body shape or that body shape or any body shape. It's just about bringing the body into balance. End of story. Secondly, things like that, that are, you are so tied to emotion, we can always find a way to work it in because it's part of a good story for you. Mm. So it has good energy to it. So it's not just about throwing things away. It's looking at your wardrobe and let's see how we can rework it and make it happen for where you are at this stage in your life. And what message do you want to present to the world? What is the impact that you want to have? So it's that. And once you get taught that at the wardrobe and once you start seeing, you kind of relax and sort of let go. And you know, self-awareness, anything self-awareness, it's difficult to look inwards. It's not easy. It's not, if it was so easy, everyone would be yay and balanced and doing the inner work that they have to be doing instead of just putting it off and ignoring it. But it's so much rewarding and fulfillment once you have done that. And the wardrobe is just the wardrobe. And that's what I want to do. I just want to take anxiety out of clothes and the wardrobe because it really is just clothes. Well, that's
do
got
I sound
a lot of
convinced?
Secrets.
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
Anyway, but I'm very excited. This journey has already been amazing. Okay, so we hope that you have learned a lot today about that. And as you are on the Murray Den, this is into the world, the things that inspire me, the things that makes me curious. And it's just like the stuff that I'm exploring and things that really, excites me. And I'm sure that you're also watching and seeing as I go through my transformation because every day I'm different. So I just want to thank you so much.
And so one should be. Otherwise, it'd be boring. Everyone would be like, oh, she's wearing that. Oh, here it comes again. You know, you need to have mystery and intrigue to keep things exciting.
For sure. You have listened to a few podcasts, so you know this is coming.
Oh, my gosh.
We are going to play the game.
Can it be all style questions and then I'll fly with colors? Don't
no,
ask
that
me
defeats
stuff
the point. We want the audience to get to know your authentic mind and how you think.
Okay, I'll try not be stupid.
No, there's no wrong answer. Okay. On your marks, get set, go. What are the three items you could buy together at the grocery store to make the cashier laugh? Come on, Steph.
Condoms.
Okay. What is your favorite dance move to do when you're on the club?
Oh, definitely the salsa. Very sexy.
What is the weirdest thing you have seen in someone else's home?
The weirdest thing?
Yeah.
A money counting machine.
God, what are some fun ways to answer everyday questions like, how's it going? Or what do you do?
What's the everyday fun way?
Yeah.
How you doing?
If someone asked to be your apprentice and learn everything that you do, what would you teach them?
Self-love.
What would you do if you were invisible for a day?
Oh my goodness. What wouldn't I do? Firstly, go around to Jacob Zuma.
Would you rather have an X-ray vision or the ability to always know when someone is lying to you?
Always know when someone's lying to me. I have that already.
Okay. All right. So you didn't answer all of them, so I'm going to ask them anyway. If you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you compete?
Swimming.
What three famous people, living or dead, would you want at your fantasy dinner party?
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama and Jennifer Lopez.
What would be the hat to end all hats? What could you wear on your head that would make people stop what they are doing and stare in awe and amazement?
A fedora.
A fedora. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us and to share your knowledge with our audience. We are going to put your information in the show notes, but maybe you just want to share it with them quickly. How can they reach out to you?
So basically, I am on LinkedIn, under Sky Mendes. You will see me there. Instagram, Facebook. On Facebook, I'm Sky Mendes Brand. Instagram, it's just Sky Mendes. And then my website, www.sky.mendes.com. Okay. And thank you for having me. I feel so honored and privileged. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being part of my journey. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to The Carmen Murray Show, another Solid Gold podcast. Please take a moment to rate and share this episode with friends and colleagues who love customer experience and marketing just as much as you do. To connect with Carmen, visit CarmenMurray.com, where you will find links to her business services, future fit events, and biz community articles. Carmen Murray is CEO of Booyah Modern Marketing Services that empower businesses to deliver premium customer experiences, B2B, B2C and B2B2C across all industries. Some of these services include research, CX strategy, persona development and customer journey mapping, CX audits, UX audits, and the connected marketer training in connected customer experiences, mobile, data management, and AI. You've been listening to another episode from the Solid Gold Podcast Studios.